So we're talking about baptism and sort of the process for how a person goes from learning about baptism to actually getting baptized. And we've talked about the biblical basis for it, some of the passages. And one of the questions that comes up is the age of baptism. At what age is it appropriate for a person to be baptized? Let me just say this. It's a beautiful thing when children make a profession of faith. We never want to question them or doubt their profession of faith. And as children mature, Lord willing, they're going to grow in their understanding of sin. They're going to grow in their understanding of the gospel and what Christ has done on their behalf. They're going to grow in their understanding of what it means to be a disciple, the cost of being attached to Christ. There is a cost that comes with following Christ. And we want to encourage parents, as you're meeting with parents, we want to encourage parents to encourage their children in all of this. And insofar as you're meeting with parents or with children, you want to encourage those children as well. So at what age should a person or a child be water baptized? Well, one thing is clear, baptism is for genuine believers. And as this is with children, it can be hard to discern. But we think there are good biblical principles for waiting. Baptism should be driven by personal conviction and certainly not by parental pressure. Let me just mention a few dangers of early baptism. First of all, a child might get a false sense of security. When they get older, they may abandon Christ and reveal it was actually not their decision, it was their parents' decision. In early childhood, baptism can also really be a disservice to them. Sometimes we've had people in their 20s or 30s come to us and they say they'd like to get rebaptized because when they were baptized as a child, it was meaningless to them or they have no recollection of it. And they can oftentimes feel robbed of the opportunity to actually wrestle with the meaning and significance of baptism. So encouraging a child to wait doesn't mean we're questioning their salvation. It's important to remember that. I think it's good to have a policy on this and really have resources available for parents as they come to you and younger children, teens maybe as well, on some of the reasons for delaying baptism. We do this. We have a CD that has an excerpt from a sermon that we gave that talks about baptism and some of the dangers of a premature baptism. There may be articles that you can hand them. We have articles we give to people that kind of talk about the pros and cons and things like that. It's also important, I think, for a church to have a policy written up on this. We have a policy and we'll give that policy to parents as well. Let's move on to the next point, though, the criteria for baptism. What's the criteria for baptism? Now, we don't want to lay down a law, but at the same time, again, we want to be diligent as shepherds, under shepherds, to not give people a false sense of security. So what next? After you've discerned that the candidate has a basic understanding of the gospel, after you've discerned as best you can that the candidate has saving faith, you might invite them to have to come to a 1, 2, 3 week class on baptism. Again, you've heard their verbal explanation of the gospel, you've heard their testimony, you've heard their desire to be baptized. Now is really the time to enter into more of a detailed study of the scriptures teaching on baptism. And in this class, you're going to, of course, spend more time on Matthew 28. You're going to spend a lot more time on Romans chapter 6 and expositing the meaning of baptism, spiritual baptism, water baptism, etc. So this class is more of a teaching time, but it also, we have to keep in mind, it also might reveal that the candidate actually isn't a believer. Maybe they made it through the testimony, they made it through, you know, the first initial meeting, but now after further examination, they really are not a believer. Or they really need more understanding and teaching on what baptism is. I want to just encourage you not to rush this. And there is a gentle way to say to the person, you know what, I think it's important we actually wait on your baptism. And we'd like to have just more time to go over some of the scriptures teaching on baptism. And this becomes, again, a time of discipleship, a time of mentoring, a time of teaching, and a time of protecting them from something that may be harmful for them if they don't actually understand what baptism is. Now, the last part of this class that I'm proposing you do is to have an assignment for them as it relates to their testimony, the testimony for their baptism. So during this class or this time to meet, maybe it's one-on-one, time to meet with this person, we would suggest that they write out their testimony. And this testimony, in our context, will be read right before their baptism. We found this assignment actually to be helpful in a number of ways. First of all, it helps the person clarify what's happened to them. And it helps them and causes them or forces them to articulate what the gospel message is. But it also gives the instructor time to go over their testimony. Sometimes you learn things about their theology that are really bad or wrong or need to be corrected. Maybe they're minor things, maybe they're major things. Remember, again, it's not too late to put on the brakes even at this point and recommend they wait for baptism until they have a clear understanding of the gospel. But here are a few guidelines that we would give to someone wanting to be baptized as it relates to their testimony. The length of the testimony probably will vary depending on your context and how many people will be getting baptized that day, but we would say generally 2, 3, 4 minutes long, and we would encourage them to write it out so they're actually reading it. This saves people a number of problems from just the emotions that can happen before a baptism or, ad-libbing and you learn all kinds of new things about this person that you wished you would have known before they're sharing their testimony. So we'd encourage them to keep it to 2 to 4 minutes, keep it simple, and encourage them to highlight a specific part of their testimony. For instance, we would encourage them to have statements like or similar to, I had a deep conviction of sin and guilt. Or I was drawn to the sacrifice of Christ for myself and my need for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Or, I was touched by the love of God. I was overwhelmed by the love of God. And we have to keep in mind, these testimonies can really be gospel presentations. People should be able to get saved through the hearing of this testimony. In other words, the testimony should be very gospel-centered and focused. It really can be a tool for evangelism. So it wouldn't be bad to encourage each person to have a key verse that maybe was instrumental in them coming to faith in Christ alone or a key theological concept. A good testimony will really have 3 main points, and we would highlight this and encourage them in this. First of all, what was your life like before Christ? We don't want to glorify sin, and we don't want all the gory details of, a sexual past or something like that. But we want to hear about, to some degree, the knowledge of your lostness, your separation from Christ, the gravity of that. And then the second part would be, how did you come to receive and trust in Christ alone for your salvation? This is true of anybody who's born again, any Christian. There was a point in time when they really had an understanding that they're saved not by their works, but by the work of Christ. So to have that as part of their testimony. And then lastly, what is your life like now? This should include some aspect of not only the Holy Spirit regenerating you, but your life now. How is your life different? What lifestyle changes have taken place? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, all things have become new." Well, what are some of those new things for you? So these would be aspects just to help them, especially if they come from a context that's not Christian at all. We want to just guide them through this, walk them through this, help them through this. So to summarize, you will take a person who's brand new to this, Take them through just briefly the theology, the biblical basis for baptism. You're going to look at the candidate, the criteria, and then their testimony. In our final session, we're going to look at some practical aspects for the actual baptism itself.